So I may preach real good. There was a woman in San Angelo in our church. Robert and Diana will remember her. She purported herself to be quite the teacher. And I say that specifically, she purported herself to be quite the teacher. And on the occasions that Kenneth allowed her, it was not the most enjoyable. And, It was just.
It was boring.
It was not the best. Well, and she went to him after she had ministered over, you know, a period of months. She had ministered a couple of times, and Kenneth had already told me he wasn't going to let her minister again until she could convey her thoughts better, until she could minister to the people instead of trying to tell what she knew. Okay? If you get up to just tell what you know, it's real obvious you're there to tell what you know. But if you're there to sincerely and truly speak the word of the Lord to the people, then there's power and anointing there. Anyway, well, she came to Kenneth and insisted, demanded that he let her teach again. And he reminded her of some instructions he had given her. And, well, she assured him that she had that taken care of. And she got up to preach just to give you an example, one day during the service, she interrupted Kenneth as he was making a point. She interrupted him and stood up and she says, "Well, I'm going to tell you what the word says." And she starts giving all these points. What she didn't know, I had the exact same Bible she had with the exact same notes. And what she was doing was reading the footnotes. But she was presenting it as that this was her revelation. And so anyway, so Kenneth walked over to her and he laid hands on her and prayed over her and he said, "Lord, let what's in me go into her." We watched her transform and she preached like a house fire. I mean, it was like, "Whoa, did you see that?" And in the middle of her message, she was saying, "I've never done this. I've never preached like..." And we said, "We know. Glory to God for the first time." You know, and she preached. I mean, she did. So see, I'm going to turn into a preacher here in a minute. So we're going to talk about storms today. Anybody ever been in a storm? Storms come in various ways, various storms. You have storms of all kinds. You have storms of health issues. You have storms of relatives. You have storms of friends and associations. You have storms of finance, right? Everybody knows what a storm is. Storms come to everybody. Nobody is exempt from storms, right? Sometimes you know a storm's coming, right? And you prepare yourself for the storm. You prepare yourself, let's say it's a literal physical storm. Let's say it's a tornado warning. Well, you make all of the necessary preparations, or they say a hurricane's a-coming. And you make all the necessary preparations for that so that you'll be prepared. And you get your family all together because we got a storm coming. We gather what's most precious to us when we know the storm is coming. But what happens when you don't know the storm is coming? What happens when you go to the doctor with a bump and he says it's cancer? What happens when you walk into work one morning and they call you in the office and say, "Adios, been nice knowing you for 38 years. What do you do when your spouse walks in and says, "I'm done"? What do you do when one of your kids does something really, really stupid? And we won't go into the types of ways that that can occur, but all of you know. When one of your kids really just goes off out there and just, and you, "That's not my child. That is not my child." Storms come in different forms, different ways. We all have to deal with them. As I said, sometimes you know the storm's coming. Sometimes You are literally blindsided. A good example of that, I made that statement to Kenneth the other day. I said, well, we're blindsided with this. He said, literally. And I said, oh, well, yeah, we kind of were. This was an unexpected storm. The storm with his mom, the initial fall was not expected, but the outcome of that, of course, was the storm we expected. And we certainly prepared ourselves to a degree for that storm. And so we're going to talk about what you do when you know there's a storm coming and even when you don't. So everyone knows when a storm comes, what's some of the things that happen in the midst of a storm?
Major turmoil.
Fear. Mm-hmm. Confusion. Mm-hmm. Devastation. Panic. Mm-hmm. Disorientation. You're not real sure what to do, which way to turn. That's what happens in a storm. So let's go to Mark chapter 4 and see how Jesus handled a storm. We're going to start with verse 35 and read through 41, the end of the chapter. But I just think it's real interesting to note that just previous to this situation with the wind and the waves and Jesus rebuking the storm, just prior to that, you'll read in your Bible in verse 33, it says, "And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." I want you all to say, I'm able to hear it. Because when God is speaking, sometimes because of our lack of focus, because of our lack of listening, we're not able to hear what God is saying. But God is speaking. Amen? And it says, "With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his," who? Disciples. Can I just finish the series on discipleship? And true disciples, Jesus will take the time to tell you about it. He'll take the time to explain it to you. Amen?
Amen.
But you've got to be able to hear it. Amen. So we're able to hear this morning, aren't we? So let's read from Mark chapter 4. Verse 35, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Some other translations, "Don't you care that we're drowning? Don't you care that we're dying here?" I know none of y'all have ever said that to the Lord. I have. "Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm here? Do you know where I am?" "Then he arose," verse 39, "and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" So how did they respond? "And they feared exceedingly." They were more scared than they were before. Why? Because they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, they were scared of the storm, and then they were scared of Jesus because he could control the storm. They feared exceedingly. And he's trying to get their attention saying, why are you afraid? I mean, Jesus is standing there. It's real easy for us to read this passage and say, you know, why? Why would they be afraid? Jesus was right there. Well, maybe we should ask ourselves the same question. Why am I afraid? Jesus is right here. He's not right there. He's right here. Amen? Amen. So let's back up and look at this again. On the same day when the evening had come in, I think most of you are familiar with the way it is in Jewish mindsets. A day begins in the evening. It does not begin in the morning. If you'll go to Genesis 1, you'll find the evening and the morning were the first, second, third, fourth, etc. day. So evening was the beginning of a day. They were starting a new day. I want to say to you today, you're starting a new day. This is a new day. You're in the middle of a new day. It's not yesterday, it is today. Amen. So they had gone in the evening, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. They were going somewhere on purpose. Jesus had a plan. We're going to the other side. Sometimes when you set out to go somewhere, the sky is blue, the sun is shining, and you're just tooling down the road, and this is wonderful, and a beautiful day for a drive, and you get about 100 miles down the road, and you think, looks like some thunderheads over there. Well, I'll probably get in a little bit of rain, and then in about another 50, 60 miles, you say, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. So what do? Turn around and go home? You just keep moving. And you know you're driving right into that storm, and it may have ferocious winds. It may have downpour of rain. It may have hail. You may have to pull over under a bridge and wait a while. But you don't retreat and go back home because you're going somewhere. You've got somewhere you got to be. You've got a plan to get to the other side. So you determine this storm is pretty bad, but I'm going to go through it. And I'm going to keep moving. I may have to just crawl on the shoulder. We may have to pull over and stop a while. But I'm going through the storm because I've got somewhere to be. Amen? And Jesus said, we've got somewhere to be. Get in the boat. Let's go. And so he said, let's go to the other side. When you're going through a storm, you've got to determine, am I going to run home and hide, or am I going to go through? Am I going to back up and say, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. The rain is too much. The hail is too much. The wind is too much. I'm going home. No, you're not a scaredy cat. You're tough. You can do this. I'm in the car. I'm okay. I'm going through this storm. Because you know that the storm is not everywhere. And you know there's blue sky somewhere. And you're going to keep driving until you find it. Right? So you just go through the storm. We all have to determine, I'm just going to go through this. I'm not going to retreat. I'm going to make my way through the ferocious winds and the rain and the hail and whatever else. I'm going to make my way through. You may be temporarily disoriented, like we discussed. You may be temporarily confused. You may even be afraid up here. But what's in here? Like Kenneth said earlier, immediately the devil started hitting his head with thoughts of, you know, this, that, and the other. And he did me the same way of, oh my, you know, what if? Everybody goes through that. That doesn't mean that you're unspiritual. It doesn't mean that you're not trusting God, because the battle is up here. What you have to find out, like was just ministered to Brody, is what's in here. What's in your heart? What's in your spirit? Check down here and see, am I afraid in my heart or is just the devil hitting my head? That alone is a storm. The devil coming against your head and the devil badgering your head and saying all kinds of stuff, that's a storm, and every one of us know what that kind of storm is like. And sometimes he's just na 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 na, and you have to do what? You have to say with your mouth, shut up. Shut up, devil. In the name of Jesus. You're a liar. Shut up. Because if the devil is talking, there is no truth in him. If he's talking, it is a lie. So don't pay attention to what's going on up here. Shut him up and pay attention to what's going on in here. And verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It is natural to wonder if God does care when you're going through hard things. When you're going through a storm, it's natural. You hear me? Natural to question if God cares. We're fixing to look at some scripture in just a few minutes. Down here, you know he does. It's up here you have to shut up. In your head, you have to shut that up. Hebrews 13:5, we're going to read it out of the Amplified in just a little bit. It says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. Jesus is in the boat. He wasn't in another boat. He was in their boat. And they're asking him, do you care? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You see, the wind was the problem. The waves were not the problem. It was the waves that was drowning them. But the root of the problem was not the waves. The root of the problem was the wind. There wouldn't have been the waves except for the wind. That's the devil. And I put this picture up here on purpose. I love this picture. Can everyone see that? I love this. It is amazing to me. First of all, I don't know how they got that lighthouse built out there. But that lighthouse is firm and solid. But what amazes me is the man standing here. Not just that this lighthouse is taking the enormity of these waves, but there's a man standing in here that is completely secure, confident, and safe. He's not afraid of these waves. He's not afraid of the wind. He's standing there watching it. Do you know that you can be an observer in the storm around you and not be afraid? While all hell is breaking loose around you, you can be safe, secure, and I'm guessing he's pretty much dry. Kind of, sort of, I don't know. You know. I love this picture, and sometimes I just look at it and consider just the sound. Just the noise of these waves. How many times have you been overwhelmed by the noise of the storms around you? Overwhelmed by the noise of the storm you're going through, the voices, the circumstances, fear hitting your head. And as Bill said, confused, disoriented. We have to be secure, knowing we are safe. We are safe.
So Jesus rebuked the wind. He said, "Peace, be still." He rebuked the wind and spoke to the waves and said, "Peace, be still." The words of your mouth will determine how you go through the storm and how long the storm lasts. Jesus stopped the storm. They weren't to the other side yet. He stopped the storm in the midst of its fury. He stopped the storm. You and I can stop the storm. All the circumstances are not going to change immediately. All the circumstances are not going to be miraculously in a moment changed. But you can stop the storm. You can stop the storm in your head. You can stop the storm around you. I will give the example of the situation we were in this week with some challenging family members. And there's one in particular that just sees the need to say things that are completely unnecessary and unkind. And bite your head off in a heartbeat and say things to you, think, "I'm sorry I even opened my mouth," you know. And you're trying to show sincere concern and you're trying to show sincere love and you get your head bit off for it. And, you know, that's a storm. You choose how you deal with the storm. You choose to either get in there and make a bigger storm or you choose to calm the storm. Amen? And we went in knowing there was going to be a storm probably, and there was. I mean, we've been in this storm before. And so we knew how to handle the storm. You don't respond. You don't respond. You keep your mouth shut and you trust the Lord for wisdom and direction. You trust the Lord for discernment and refuse to get over into what is causing the storm. You don't calm the storm by blowing more wind. Okay? That doesn't help. It doesn't, does it? We've all been there when we decided, "You're going to blow at me? Just wait. I'm fixing to unload on." And what happens? Oh, no, it doesn't fix it. It doesn't calm it. It doesn't make it go away. Now you've really got your problem. The neighbors call the cops and they come and take all your guns and knives and you know, and it just doesn't turn out well. You don't calm a storm with a storm. I had a family member a couple of years ago straighten me out real good and it was ongoing for a while, and I was called names and said things to me that were not nice. And I wanted to respond. And I was gathering my points. I was writing them down, what I was going to say in response to getting, as Kenneth would say, a good old country and western cussing. I was gathering my points of how I was going to respond. And I was sitting at my desk. Now, this was a pretty good storm, I'm telling you, pretty good storm. And I was not only angry, I was hurt. It took me weeks to admit that I was hurt, because you're not tough enough to hurt me. I was hurt. But I was gathering what all I was going to say in response. And I'm sitting at my desk and I've got my legal pad out and I'm making my points and I'm going to let them have it.
First of all,
it wasn't Kenneth.
No.
Oh, first of all, yeah, on what was it on Facebook said, you know you've lost an argument when a woman says, first of all, you know you're done for. So I had my list going. I had all my points I was writing down, and I was going to unload. And the Lord spoke to me very sternly, and He said, never pull out a machine gun on a BB gun. That was a BB gun? I'm fixing to mow her down. I'm fixing to let her have it. And I realized, oh my, oh, I would have done so much damage, she'd never recover. You got to decide what it's worth. Hear me. You got to decide what it's worth, because it wouldn't have just cost me that one. It would have cost me a whole bunch more. And the damage it would have done to that one person alone. And I'm telling you this because that's what the Spirit of God said to me. He said, you will do so much damage, she will never recover. Is that really what I want? Is that real? Do I want to destroy this person? No. What I wanted was reconciliation. And I thought if I told her off, we'd reconcile. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense? Duh. No. It doesn't. But that's the kind of storm that goes on in our head. If I tell them what for, then it'll all be fixed. No, it won't. No, it won't. So the Lord arrested me, and we dealt with the problem. Her little blowing wind had upset my world. But bringing in a, what's the biggest hurricane, a 5 or a 6 or whatever it is, wasn't going to fix the problem. What we needed was to call peace. 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 And speak peace to the storm and speak peace in the situation and believe God for grace. And trust God for wisdom. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, how many of you lack wisdom? And if all of you do not raise your hand, you're a liar. You need wisdom. Every single one of us lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of... Come on, y'all surely know this. Let him ask of God, who gives to all... How much? He gives to all liberally and upbraids. What does upbraid mean? He doesn't get on to you. He doesn't scold you. He doesn't tell you, well, you little idiot, here you are again asking for wisdom and you didn't know how to do that. No, he never does that. He doesn't belittle and demean you because you don't know what to do. That's why we have to call on him and say, I need your wisdom, Lord. Amen. So Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Let's take a moment and speak to the wind in our lives right now. And say, I rebuke the storm. I rebuke you in Jesus' name and I command peace. Be still. In Jesus' name. And there was a great calm. Amen. That's what we have to do. Speak to it. Take authority over it in the name of Jesus. But Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then they feared exceedingly and said, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Go to Romans chapter 8. Now, if you're having a tough day, Romans chapter 8 will pull you out of it. I'm just saying. Let's see, where do I want to start? I don't know how you can stay depressed and down reading Romans 8. Let's start with verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever you're going through doesn't even compare to the glory of what God's taking you to. You're going to the other side. He said, let's go to the other side. You're going through the storm, but you've got somewhere to go, and it's into the glory of God. Amen? And it says that the tribulation and the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. All of creation. I'm talking land, wind, seas, animals. All of creation is waiting for you and I to take our authority and our dominion and bring them out of bondage. There is a curse on this earth. Thank you, Adam. There is a curse, and all of this earth and all of creation is wanting us to take our dominion and take our authority. Amen? You know, let's use plants and flowers and crops as an example. You speak ugly to them, they won't do well. Anybody that's ever had any potted plants or any kind of flowers and that kind of stuff, I've never been a farmer, so I don't know about crops, but I do know about plants. You pet them and you talk to them and you be nice to them and you bless them, they grow. They respond to life. And they respond to life words. Well, that's just a small example of this whole community, this whole area, this whole county is waiting for all of us to buck up and grow up and do something about it. The land is saying, please, please take authority. Please get this curse off me. The land is saying, please. The land is groaning, saying, please take your dominion and authority. Yet the disciples were afraid because Jesus had that kind of authority in creation. How many of you have ever seen a tornado coming or told a tornado was coming or a hurricane and you went out and took authority over it? And how many of you lived through it? I guess all of you. Okay? But you knew you had dominion over that because you felt the threat of the tornado or the hurricane or whatever it was. You felt the threat, but you knew you had authority in the name of Jesus. Why are you not doing that in your own life and mind? Why are you not doing that in your own life every day? Because you think, I'm going to make it. I'll get through this. Well, why go through it if you don't have to? They didn't have to go through the storm. They could have rebuked it. That's why Jesus is saying, why are you afraid? In other words, why didn't you do something about it? So now they're scared of him and the wind. Why are you not doing something about the storms in your life? Is it because the devil has told you you're not that spiritual? Is it because the devil has told you you don't have that much power? I would guess yes. Well, I haven't spent enough time praying. I haven't spent enough time in the Word. Well, I don't know if I'm saying the right words. How hard is it to say, shut up, devil, in Jesus' name? That's the right words. That's the right words. Yes. It's the lie of the devil to tell you you haven't got what it takes. And when he says that to you, say, you're such a liar. Shut up. Shut up in Jesus' name. You wouldn't let somebody you know talk to you like that and say, Sandy, who are you to even open your mouth? You don't even know anything. What would you say? Well, shut up. You'd tell them shut up and say, you're not my friend. You can't come to my house anymore. Shut up. Then why do we let the devil do that? Because we think he knows more than we do. And that is a lie. That is a lie. You have the power. You have the authority. Let's keep reading. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. Say it, for good. Say it, for good. God's not beating you up to teach you something. He's not leaving you in the storm so you'll learn a lesson. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Not troubles and struggles and trials and problems. Yes, you learn in the midst of your troubles and struggles. Why? Because you're finally listening. Because you want out. You could have been listening before. What did we read there in Mark? What the disciples? If you're able to hear it. If you're able to hear it. God's talking all the time whether you're listening or not. The Spirit of God is talking. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation is talking all the time. We usually don't tune in until we're in the middle of all hell breaking loose and we say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Now what? He says, okay, now I've got your attention. Not because he brought a storm to get your attention, but you finally listen. Amen? So we are listening. We are listening to the Spirit of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And oh my, and I just lost my... Shoot, and I'm in Job now. We ain't going there. Okay. Where was I? Romans 8. 30? Okay. I don't know how that happened. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. This is the most marvelous passage, I do believe. This is the most marvelous passage in all of Scripture, I do believe. We can never exaggerate the love of God. Try. you can't make more of it than it is. We can never get overbalanced in the love of God. Ever. Never. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, who's going to stand against me that I don't have everything God has? Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? What's the answer? Who is it that condemns? Satan. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, say it with me, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, yes, Lord. 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 Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified after we read out of the New King James. 5 and 6. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That alone is powerful, awesome, wonderful, glorious. Amen? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, is that what you're saying in the midst of the storm? The Lord will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is here with me. He is in me. Amen? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let's say it together, verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Verse 5. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be content, satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? When we are standing in the love of God, and all you ladies, I mean, we're still on 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given me the spirit of, but of, and a sound mind. If you're in fear, you have compromised your power. You're not going to walk in power and fear at the same time. Can't happen, won't happen. How can you be in faith and fear at the same time? Can't. And if you're not in faith, you're out of power. God's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love. If you're in fear, you've stepped outside of love. You're questioning not only God's love, but others' love. Right? Isn't that what happens when you're going through something? You decide who all doesn't love you? Oh, y'all aren't like me. Oh, okay. Well, when I'm going through stuff, I decide who all doesn't care about me. And who all doesn't care if I ever came again, or who, if I died, nobody would know or care. The devil doesn't tell y'all that, does he? Oh, okay. He does, Sandy. Okay, so I'm talking to Sandy. All right. Well, the devil tells me when I'm going through rough times that nobody cares. And they could care less whether I'm going through anything or not. And if I fell off the end of the earth, that nobody would know or care. Oh, so he tells you the same thing. Oh, he's just making the rounds, isn't he? He's a liar. John 8:44. What does it say? He's a liar and the father of them. And if you read it out of the NIV, it says that he speaks his native language. It's the only language he knows. You know, there are people who are bilingual. I wish I was. Taco enchilada. Burrito, queso, but I'm not. Time for lunch, you know. I did. Kenneth is learning Russian, and I was talking to his aunts about his mom over some issues a couple of days ago, and I have a loud voice. I don't know if y'all have noticed. It's not the microphone, and my voice carries, and I know that, but I still talk loud. Not sure why. And I find myself just yelling at people. And I'm like, I don't mean to be yelling at you. I just want you to hear me. Just in case you couldn't hear me. And I think that comes from being the third child trying to be heard. Nobody's listening, so I had to talk loud so they'd listen to me. You know what I'm saying, right? It's like, if I talk loud enough, everybody else has to shut up and hear what I have to say. So anyway, I was talking to his aunts about some of the issues with his mom, and we were in the back bedroom, you know, go around the hall and then a long hall and in around into the living area, and evidently they could hear me in the living area because Kenneth came back there and told me in Russian, "Shh, we can hear you in there." Well, I didn't know the words, but I knew what they meant, and so. The devil only speaks lies. He may not understand your words, but he knows what you mean. Amen? And you talk to him and you say to him, it doesn't matter if you're a little bitty kid. Age has nothing to do with this. I don't know if you've noticed, but the devil doesn't care how old you are when he attacks. He doesn't care if it's a baby or an old person or a middle-aged person, male, female, black, white, brown, polka dot, green, striped. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. And the very lie that he's telling you is that God does not care. And he's the one that doesn't care. But he's speaking his native language. He's talking the only language he knows, and that is to lie. In the midst of the storm, refuse to fear. It's so hard. Yes, it's hard. But the alternative is worse. The alternative is you're making it worse by getting into fear. You've lost your power. You've lost your love. And you've lost your sound mind. You start thinking things and saying things. Your reasoning is out the window. Your wisdom is gone. You don't have a sound mind if you're in fear. Why? Because you're reporting what the devil has to say. You're repeating a lie. We've all been guilty of that, just among relatives and friends and etc. And they tell us something and we believe it for truth and we repeat it, but we've repeated a lie. When you say what the devil says, you are repeating a lie and passing it along as truth. And there is no truth in him. Stay in peace. We're going to hurry. How much time do I have left, honey? 28. Okay, I'm hurrying. Let's see. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Old Testament. Creation is waiting for us to step up and take authority and dominion. But you can't take authority over creation until you take authority over your own mind and mouth. Okay. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Well, let's back up to verse 2. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, say it, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Go quickly to Isaiah 40, 31. Most of you already know it. But let's turn there anyway, just in case you don't. That was the very first scripture chorus I ever learned as a young teenager. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Y'all know that song? Sure you do. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles fly above the storm. They don't have to go through it because they can get up over it and go where the blue skies are. Amen? They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Skip down in chapter 41. Just look over into the next chapter. Verse 10. Fear not. For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Again, y'all are very familiar with these scriptures, but it's always good to have a refresher. Joshua chapter 1. Let's start with verse
Well, let's just start with 7. Everybody got it? Joshua 1:7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So what do you do in the storm? You don't fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Fear will come. You know that. Don't let it stay. Run it off. If somebody came to your house and intended to do you harm and break in your house and kill and destroy, you wouldn't tolerate that. You would run them off. You would find an equalizer, right? Somehow, some way. But they're not coming in here. I saw a thing on Facebook. Y'all probably saw it too. I believe it was on Fox News. There was a 18-year-old mama and had her, I think the little baby was 8 months old. And her husband had died several months ago. And some guy had been stalking her. And he was trying to break into her house in the middle of the night. And he had a knife, you know, cutting the screens and trying to get in her house. Now, she's a little 18-year-old, single, widowed mama and got that baby in the middle of the night, and this guy's trying to walk. You know he had ill intent, not just to break in the house. You know what he intended to do. And she called 911, and I was shocked at how calm her voice was. And she called 911 and told him what was going on. And they wanted to know if she had any way to protect herself. She said, yes, I've got a shotgun, and she had a handgun. She said, is it okay if I shoot him? And they said, only if he comes in the house. Okay. So he got in, and guess what? She shot him. You're not coming in here. And she says, I've got to protect my baby. She wasn't even thinking about herself. She thought he was after the baby. And they put it off as motherly instinct. I just think you see God all over it, you know. And yeah, motherly instinct certainly played a role in that. But you know what? Can I shoot him? That's the attitude we all should have. You try to come on my property, I'm going to kill you. That's the attitude we have to have with the devil. You want to come through the door, I've got a shotgun for your mouth. And if that's not enough, I've got a handgun waiting to go the next round, you know? You've got to shut the devil up. Put that gun in his mouth and pull the trigger. Amen? Amen. You refuse to fear and you stay calm. You stay in peace. We will end with Psalm 91. You all know it. Psalm 91. This should be something that we go to, if not daily, very often. It should be a daily declaration and proclamation. It should be a daily confession. It should be a continual prayer.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, what are you saying? He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him do I trust. Surely He shall deliver me. It says you. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Whew! Why are y'all not shouting glory? It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He's given His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you'll trample underfoot. Because He has set His, what? Love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Everybody say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Lift your hands and say, glory to God. Yeah, give the Lord a hand and a praise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you. We thank you that we don't fear in the storm. We are not afraid. But we say, storm, stop. In Jesus' name, peace, be still. In the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Thank you.